If the most watched election in U.S. history showed us anything, it had to be this. A contest of ideas to meet human need, or a campaign to balance the scales of justice regardless of political stripe, will very quickly descend into a classic wrestle for power and control. Really, it's symptomatic of the big human problem that reaches into every detail of our lives, whether work, home, or marriage. The struggle for power and control, the nag and nudge to assert personal rights, the urge to be right, tops the winner at all costs, sometimes can control our very existence and destroy everything in its path. No wonder the gospel of Christ was and is so misunderstood. People around Jesus didn't buy into humility very easily. They were in the business to save their own lives, to make a tidy profit quickly. He was in the towel and soap business. It was an ugly idea to them. Bedpans and washing and ironing were for slaves, for the dregs of society. So to a crowd eager for him to force compliance on others and get control, he said, "If I am lifted up from the earth, speaking of his death, I will draw all men unto me." For yes, it was there, my friend, spread eagle as a broken man on a wooden beam outside the city, taunted by enemies and mocked by detractors. Jesus was greater than all the armies that ever marched. For 2,000 years later, like a mighty magnet, he is drawing humanity onto himself from all over the planet. For love is greater than power. So it's into a human power struggle, where relationships were strained, that Paul writes this: "Let this mind, this mindset, be in you which was in Jesus, who emptied himself." It's the old story, and Pastor Fred Penny will later share a message on how that attitude works out inside the family. In his message today, how to enjoy your turkey dinner. The cry of the heart that revolutionizes our very soul is in these words: "Reign in me.
Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign?"
The subject theme for today's message brought to my mind a story of a Rwandan man in 1980 who was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. He refused to renounce Christ and was killed on the spot. The night before, he had written the commitment which was found in his room, and that written commitment has been since widely published under the title Fellowship of the Unashamed. In it, he wrote, "I don't have to be right or first or tops, regarded or rewarded. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. That, my friend, is the mind of Christ. The song says, I will serve thee because I love thee." The message today will speak into our lives about how the mind and attitude of Christ can enrich and restore relationships. Almost any freedom we can name, when uncontrolled, can destroy us. Freedom of speech can bring reconciliation and peace, or it can incite war and tumult. Words can unite a family or rip it in shreds. We've all heard the line, "I speak my mind," will guard yourself against such person. They could be dangerous, lethal, out of control. Almost everywhere, there's a broken heart that just won't heal. There's a wounded spirit. There's a bruise that over time has probably decayed until Satan's infection is lodged in the very soul, all caused by an unbridled tongue, a word unfitly spoken. Now, only Jesus can mollify the wounded spirit. So whether your need today is physical or emotional, he is the healing Jesus. Jim Fifield is leading us as we sing.
Sure.
Lord Acton, a British historian, said that a person's sense of morality decreases as his or her power increases. He wrote the lines, "Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely." Someone rephrased it, "Power is delightful. Absolute power is absolutely delightful." Yes, we want control, often over others. We want to be right, to be tops, to be first. It often sows the seeds of destruction that sometimes destroys our most precious commodity, our relationships. A big phrase in Paul's lexicon was like-minded. Now, how does that work out in everyday relationships? Let's see what the Word says now in this message by Pastor Fred Penny.
It's time for another chapter in the old, old story, the story that never gets old. It's the story of Jesus and his love. Now, today I want to share with you a very practical message from the book of Philippians chapter 2, and the passage is about relationships, how to get along with one another. And so I'm titling this message, How to Enjoy Your Turkey Dinner. Imagine with me in just a few weeks from now, it'll be Christmas Day, and you'll be gathering around the big table with a bunch of family and friends, and maybe some uncles and cousins and people maybe that you don't normally spend a lot of time with, and there might be a few people at that table that kind of annoy you, and maybe you might even annoy them. And everyone is trying to be on their best behavior to enjoy Christmas, not to have any arguments, not to get into any maybe controversial subjects, so that everybody is happy and everyone's relaxed. How to enjoy your turkey dinner. Well, here in Philippians chapter 2, we read a few words from the Apostle Paul about getting along with one another, relationships. Relationships are some of the most tricky things that we deal with in life. You know, machines are easier to handle than people because people are so complicated. So many layers to personality. Communication can be so difficult at times. And so here's what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude as Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll stop the reading right there. What a challenging passage that is. Relationships can be very challenging. So Paul gives us 5 steps here. If I can be really practical and concise now, Paul gives us 5 steps so we can enjoy our turkey dinner. Number one, he says, avoid competition and comparing yourself with other people. Try complimenting people instead of competing with one another. Paul says here in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Or another translation says, never act from motives of rivalry. Another translation says, there should be no competition among you. Reduce the tension and the stress. As children, you know, we got into sibling rivalries. We would compete with our brothers or sisters. But now, even as adults, there still seems to be that instinct to compete with one another and to compare ourselves. And, you know, when we do that, someone wins and someone loses. And the person who loses is hurt. And they may withdraw. And so the relationship suffers, and it can create tension. And over time, that tension can build, and people can draw apart and drift away. So let's be careful not to compete and not to compare, but let's compliment and encourage each other during the Christmas season at that turkey table. Number 2, Paul says now, avoid conceit. Conceit is really just another word for pride, isn't it? Let's get rid of the pride. Don't do things to show off your accomplishments. Don't be self-centered. and egotistical so that you gain attention and you gain praise from other people. I mean, people see through that, don't they? And so what really is attractive is not that kind of self-centered conceit, but what really is attractive and builds relationships is humility. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Pride breeds quarrels or conflict or tension." Try humility instead of conceit and pride. Number three, Paul says, beware of criticism. Avoid criticism and avoid complaining. Verse 3 again, Paul says, in humility, there's that word humility again, consider others better than yourselves. Now, when Paul says better, he doesn't mean superior, because we're all created in the image of God and we're all equal in the eyes of God and God loves all of us the same. But Paul says, in humility and in relationships, put others before yourself. Other people, says Paul, are worthy of respect. So don't put people down. Don't belittle people, but rather treat them better than you would even treat yourself. What a radical concept. Treat others better than you would treat yourself. Now, that's kind of countercultural, if you ask me. So we can decrease criticism and be less critical in our thinking and affirm and build up other people. Humility is not just thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. The focus isn't on you. It's listening rather than talking. It's on encouraging rather than criticizing. So enjoy that turkey dinner. Avoid criticism. Avoid complaining and encourage and be content. Number four, demonstrate, show consideration. Verse 4 says, each of you should look out not only to your own interests, but the interest of others. What an interesting perspective Paul has here. He's talking to the Philippian church about building stronger relationships, and now he says, you know, think of the interests and the needs and maybe even the anxieties and the fears of other people. Be others-minded. What an interesting idea that is. Imagine going to that turkey dinner, that Christmas event, that Christmas party, not to be seen, not to be heard, but to show an interest in other people, to be a good listener instead of a good talker. When you are a good listener, one of the things you can do is offer compliments and encouragement and reflect back what people have said to you so that they understood that you've actually heard them and you're interested in what's going on in their lives. Number five, and this is the big one, this is the real important one, because now we're going to talk about Jesus our Lord. And so listen to how Paul concludes this passage here now about relationships. He says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in the next number of verses, Paul gets into the attitude of Jesus. I'll read a few more verses. Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is an incarnation passage. This is a Christmas passage, because here Paul talks about Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the eternal God in heaven. And so the verse 6 begins, he is in very nature God. But he did not hold on to that place of position and privilege, as it were, but he condescended into humanity. He took on human form. He became a peasant carpenter in a small village called Nazareth in the northern part of Israel. And Nazareth was one of those places that didn't have a good reputation. You may remember there's a line in the Gospels that says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that's the place where Jesus grew up. He made himself nothing. He took the nature of a servant, became human, and he humbled himself so much, he went all the way to the cross. And there he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins and to offer us the gift of salvation. Now, this Christmas, there will be many gifts given and received, but the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation. And so everything that Paul said here about relationships, you know, it's pretty difficult to do, if we're honest, in our own strength. And so we need to be born again. We don't just look at Jesus as an example to follow. No, we look at Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who needs to come into our lives and transform our very heart, transform our very mind, and transform our very attitude. Now, we can all try harder to be in better relationship with people, and there is human effort. But what Paul is really getting at here is that we need Christ to pour his love and his life and his presence into our hearts. And when that happens, we become full of love and we become better people. And our relationships are healthier now because Christ has come in. He's poured his love into our hearts. And now we're not insecure. Now we're not full of pride. Now we're not trying to win every competition. Now we have a sense of identity. We have a sense of peace. We have a sense of contentment because we know who we are. We belong to Christ. Christ indwells us and his Spirit has transformed us. And so with the help of Christ, with the life-changing power of Christ, our relationships can be transformed and we can be a blessing to other people. And we can enjoy that turkey dinner. You know, there's a great verse over in chapter 4 of Philippians that really kind of captures it so well. Paul says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. May God bless you today. Enjoy your turkey dinner. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, pray a prayer of salvation and say, Lord, come into my life. Change my heart. Change my attitude. I want to be filled with your love. And I want to be a blessing to other people. I pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now my wife Valerie is going to come and lead us in a moment of prayer.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you grateful for all that you've given us. We come, Lord, with our broken selves. We come in a place of need, coming before our Father for both enjoying your presence and bringing ourselves fully to you. And Father, we acknowledge that we have broken relationships in our lives. We have people who we have offended and people who have offended us. And Lord, we know that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to restore our relationship with you. You are all about restoring relationships. And so, Father, we humbly come before you with our brokenness, with those broken relationships in our lives. And we ask you, oh God, would you come and intervene and change us, soften our hearts, heal those wounds, Lord, in Jesus' name, and allow us to move ahead by your power and by your Spirit to do the work of God of reconciliation. And so, Father, we also pray for those who have taken a stand against us. And we pray that you would soften their hearts. And, Father, that there would be reconciliation. And we pray especially among families, oh God, that you would make us stand strong, that we would have each other's back. Lord, we are so grateful that we belong to your family. We are your daughters and your sons. And we are so grateful to stand shoulder to shoulder around your table, Lord. But Father, may we recognize our need to also reach out to our own families, to our own communities. Father, be gracious to us. Lord, there's some among us today who stand in great need of your intervention in many areas of our lives. For financial and physical needs, Lord, we come before you. For loneliness, Lord, and relational needs, we come before you. Father, we ask that your grace would be sufficient in all of the challenges and trials that we face, and that you would shape our hearts to follow hard after you as we persevere through the challenges that are in our path, oh God. So Lord, use us and shape us and mold us to be those peacemakers that our world needs. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
To honor you.
You've been tuned to the old story. 579-9678 will register your need today with people of faith who will be praying for you. Identify your need. Be specific with your request. It will strengthen your faith. Your Heavenly Father hears. He said He would. Now, maybe as you've heard the message today, you've been caused to reflect on a time in your life when you wish that gentleness had prevailed, but instead, relationships were broken, hurt was inflicted. Friend, Jesus saw everything in the human spirit, anger, revenge. He saw the big fisherman, Peter, the bully, the coward. He saw the denial, the wretchedness, the tragedy. There was always opportunity enough to settle the score, but no, knowing Peter fully, He loved him freely. He's looking beyond your failure today, and maybe what others see, He wants to save you. You may be listening today from a prison cell. The message is for you. You've not gone beyond His reach. You may have hidden your face from the glare of the camera as the media sought to expose your shame, but Jesus loves you. Hear it. He's waiting for you to ask Him by His shed blood to take all your sin away. Not just what you've done, but what you and all of us were born with. Ask Him to be your Savior. He'll confirm your reservations for eternity today. Now, we'd love to know. 579-9678. It makes this commitment and effort worth it all. We always want to remind you that the same grace that saves you will keep you. When you fail, when you fall on your face, when trials multiply, this gift has no limit or boundary. It's out of His riches in glory that He's going to give you grace from this moment that will be more than enough to meet your needs.